morning. Thank God for his goodness and his mercies over us. I'm happy to see everyone. You're all welcome to the house of God. Welcome to fellowship. So we'll continue our teachings on 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talking about triumph. How many remember we were talking about triumph? And so round of that teaching. So we thank God for life. We thank God for His love over our lives. Thank God for His mercies and His goodness. He is a good God. He's a good God. He is a good God. He is a good God. He's kind. And his promises are yea and amen. Do you know, for me, I've made a vow. I will never be caught not praising him. So let's just quickly go into this and it will be good for the day. So we're having a conversation from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I think we started from verse 14. When Paul had an issue. He had a very funny issue because he got to a place where he felt that God had given him the opportunity to preach. Amen. Amen. He was speaking from verse 12. He said, when I came to trials to preach Christ's gospel. Father, I thank you because your spirit is on this word and your spirit is in control of the atmosphere. When I came to trials to preach the Christ gospel and the door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed to Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. And so he had an opportunity to preach. But at the same time, he was troubled in his spirit because he didn't find Titus. And so we see two things happening at the same time, a good time and a bad time. And his response is, now thanks be to God. Corey was preaching sometimes back where he was talking about blessed be God. And this is a revelation where regardless of what is happening, your state must be thanksgiving. Amen. You must be in a state of thanksgiving. Whether a door has been opened or there is trouble somewhere, our state is what? Thanksgiving. And I'm trusting God that it will not just be. You see, the reason why we give thanks is not because it's not only because it's a command. It's because it's the right thing to do. Because God is in charge. God is in charge. So we thank God. Thanksgiving is a proof of your health, your spiritual health. When you're not thanking God, it's not because you are going through stuff. It's because you're unhealthy spiritually. So the solution to thanksgiving is not a miracle. The solution to lack of thanksgiving is not a miracle. A miracle will not make you stop giving. Will not make you start giving thanks. Solution to thanksgiving, to lack of thanksgiving, is revival. You have fallen short of your of truth. You see because for us, victory is not what we obtain. It's more than that. For us, victory is an estate. It's an estate that we live in. So when the alarm of victory is lacking in your spirit, perhaps the enemy has got you to shift location. So the alarm of victory must be consistent in our spirit. Victory is not an event. It's first of all a state. You can't be a child of God and not be in victory. So when you lose the sense of victory, it's because you are being attacked. Are we together here? So Paul was having victory because a door was open for him. At the same time, he was going through some kind of challenging time because he couldn't find Titus. And he responded and said, "Now thanks be to God." So thanksgiving cannot be postponed. It has to be when?
Now.
And when is now? Now is always now, right?
Yes.
So now, you have to be in a state of thanksgiving. It will take you to write thanksgiving all around your house. So that you just keep saying, "Thank God, thank God." Or you name your next child, "Thank God." You know? You have to give thanks. So it's not just that you need a miracle. It's that you need to be alive. Thanksgiving is a proof of life, spiritual life. Thanksgiving. When you have lost your sense of giving thanks, it's not good. Praise God. Can somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus"?
Thank you, Jesus.
Doesn't that feel like a perfume? Anytime you say, "Thank you, Jesus," you have sanitized your environment. It feels good. Can we say, "Thank you, Jesus"?
Thank you, Jesus.
Add that to your weapons of war. Add that. When you are going through toughest times, what should you say?
"Thank you, Jesus."
That's how you should fight. You just say, "Thank you, Jesus." Immediately you have done that, you have released the host of heaven. You have told them, "Come on now." It's signal. It's code language. I thank you, Lord. Immediately you have said that, you have said, "Let the kingdom have its way. Let the kingdom rule and reign." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anytime you say that, can you ever sense defeat whenever you say that? Never. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you." Jesus was faced with Lazarus and was thanking God that he always hear him. To be full of thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. And prayers, supplication, and what? With thanksgiving. Then let your request be made known unto God. Can you say, "Thank you, Jesus"?
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, thanks be to God. Now, thanks be to God. When?
Now.
If you're sitting beside your husband or wife, can you both of you look at yourselves and say, "Thank you, Jesus"? I said, if you are sitting beside your... And I don't want any brother leaving church today and ask the sister beside that, "Did you notice that we're seated together today?" All those kind of evil lines will not work. God is not saying anything. It's a mistake you guys were seated together. It's not coincidence. It's actually a mistake. It's an error. Amen. Different satanic lines. Flying helter skelter. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Can I make another line?
Yes, sir.
Can you just say always?
Always.
Amen. Always. Always. If I can get a people who can just introduce always into their understanding. I won't win 3 and lose 2. I won't win 4 and lose 1. Not Zach, not me. And that's why I go to thank God. And it will be, I'll always win. There's one song, I can't remember, something always. Who sang it?
PK.
Okay, yeah.
Are we together? Always. Always. Introduce always into your vocab. Always. I said you won't win five and lose one.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Not true. Always. And every challenge is just a leading through. That's what he says. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. So you call it a battle, but it's in triumph. I'm actually moving from triumph to triumph. Not from battle to victory. It's triumph to triumph. The enemy brings battle, but I stay in triumph. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's triumph. I'm not joining. I preached a message some years back and I called it, you lost because you fought. In triumph. It's from triumph to triumph. So it means that we have to stay in triumph. We can't leave triumph and go and fight. Let the battles come and meet you at home. There's something called home and away. And there's always home advantage. Even the guy on the street has a heightened level of vexation if you come and harass him at home. You hear la dubumi. There's an anger, la dubumi. Tinti you. I've not la dubumi. Now you can try that. You can try that somewhere else, but la dubumi. You know, when your car has a fault, when you're driving, your car has a fault. When you get to your area, you're at peace. It can pack up. You can, but nothing can happen here. Now, what you do with it? Nothing will happen. Now, my side with it. Can you also treat heaven like that? Mm-hmm. Not heaven, I did. I'm telling you the truth. See, nothing is happening. No. Nothing is happening here. I'm in heaven. I'm not lying to you. I tell you the truth and I lie not. It's leading in triumph. It's leading in triumph. Sometimes it looks tough, but it's in triumph. I'm going to stay in triumph. That is to say, you know, I was speaking with the pastors where I got an information. I might not give you the details. I was speaking with the pastor. Someone gave me an information, not so nice information, about something where it looked like we're going to lose as a church. So the person gave me the information like 3 weeks ago. And the information came and fell. It just hit here and fell. You know, like Odeshi, when they shoot you, it just fell. I just knew that it was just, the enemy just wanted to pressure me. And I didn't take the pressure. And I told them, I said, I didn't tell you guys 3 weeks ago. I said, because I didn't feel the information matters. Even though it looks like it's valid, I told them. And I was placed a call to confirm the information. I found out it was not valid. It was not valid, not when we called. It was not valid from day one. If I troubled myself, I would have troubled myself and now find that it's not valid. What kind of useless life is that? And that's how many of us live. We cry, then laugh when the miracle happens. Then the journey continues. Sorrow, happiness. Sorrow, happiness. So your life expectancy is like 33. You can't treat your soul like that. You can't be treating your soul like that. You are sorrowful, then small miracle happening. I want to testify. And not knowing that in this earth, you shall face tribulation. Tribulation is part of the sandwich. So you better know how to stay in joy in the presence of tribulation because you are in triumph. Because they say in the world, wahala, no, they finish. And in the kingdom, triumph, no, they finish. So let him bring it on. Are you with me? We'll stay. We'll stand our ground. I haven't done all to stand. Stand. Is that not what the Bible says? You stand. Because it is always. I wish I could hear one more person say always.
Always.
Always. I fight. Not to leave my space. I was telling the pastor, I said, I'm not even fighting only for a miracle. No. For me, I fight not to leave my space. I don't want a miracle to happen and I'll be ashamed. That's my own plan. I don't want a miracle I want a miracle to happen and me and God we say, nah, so now, no be you. I want to stand. I want the miracle to happen and me and God say, I know now, no say he'll come. I know. My G. That's what I want. I don't want a miracle to happen and I'm shocked. Do you understand that? I want a miracle to happen and I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Now. Thanks be to God. So judge your spirituality by the consistency of your thanksgiving. I laugh at prayer warriors who don't thank God, who don't have faith. They are like a joke to me. How can you be prayerful without faith? You are a joke. You need to go and remodel that your prayer life. Because those that appear before Zion, they go from strength to strength. If you truly appear before Zion, I should see faith. It's a joke to me. Prayer warriors who don't have faith. It's a joke. Faith. Prayer warriors who don't laugh, who don't smile. It's a joke. It's a serious joke. How do you be? How are you prayerful like you're not childish and childlike? It's a joke. How can you be spiritual and you don't behave like a baby? There's a connection between spirituality and childlikeness. When you're spiritual, everything goes just as simple for your eye. Check it now. All your professors, all your lecturers that know book are simple. Every time. All the lecturers that know book are simple. It's the one that are about to know book that are complicated. There's a simplicity that comes with true greatness. It's always like that. There is a simplicity that comes with true greatness. You see, because you don't need anything external to prove what you have. So you're just simple. It's a joke to me. Prayer warriors who don't have joy. You don't pray. Prayer warriors who are worried. How? Can you say now? Can you say thank you, God? Then can you scream always?
Always.
Always. That's it. This is how we stay in fire. This is how we stay in fire. We stay in fire, and if you did a video of us, you'd think we're in the AC. Because our feeling and our behavior in fire. In fact, you that are in AC, you think my place is cool, is cooler. Do you understand that? It's not your challenge that is making you behave the way you are behaving. You are behaving the way you are. Your challenge just reveals you. I'm so wow, Lord.
Wow.
Are we together, my friends? It reveals what's inside. It reveals what's inside. You have to be in triumph. Don't live triumph. Don't live triumph. And how do you not live triumph? Thanksgiving. 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 You pray in tongues until this perspective of God dawns on you. See, I want to know if my behavior is consistent with heaven's command. I don't want to behave or feel in a way heaven is not feeling. You see, I don't want to act like I've been. You know, when a soldier has disconnected from the command. Are we together? When a soldier is lost, what happens is that he begins to just look for how to survive. But when a soldier is not lost, he responds to command, to formation. May you hear what they are saying from heaven. Don't just behave anyhow. Don't just behave. Pastor Obi says, don't react. Respond. You respond. Now, thanks always triumph in Christ through us. And through us, what does he do? He diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Are we together here? He diffuses what? The fragrance of his knowledge. Are we together here? So the knowledge has a fragrance. Are you with me? The knowledge has a what? Fragrance. So the question is, are you going to leave it as knowledge or take it up into fragrance? And the way they take it from knowledge to fragrance is that they turn up the heat. This is the reason for pressure. Pressure, it's okay. Pressure is the opportunity that God grants you if you allow him to turn up the heat over your life so that the knowledge you have can be converted to fragrance. Do you understand? Imagine Sarah giving counsel to somebody who doesn't have a child. Which counselor can be better? Imagine Sarah teaching people who don't have a child how to go through it. Or imagine Abraham doing a teaching on faith. Everywhere will just turn to faith. The walls will be painted faith. Do you understand? Because for him, it's not more knowledge. It has been converted from knowledge to fragrance. And when there is time for God to convert what he has told you to what you will smell like, then he turns up to eat. I've started. That's what he does. And so, as you are taking in knowledge, are you ready for the heat? Knowledge attracts heat. The Bible said persecution arose because of the word. Knowledge will attract heat. And that will be a proof of your love to God. Because if the heat is too much, if you don't really love him, you run away. But if you love him, you stay. And when you stay, the knowledge will turn to what? To fragrance. At that level, it doesn't matter where you are. Are you together with me? It doesn't matter what. Where you are, because at this level, it is now we're every place. After a while, you won't even know what's home was away. You go to hell, still mess him up. Do you understand now? So it means that at this level, the presence you carry is now follow come and the follow goes. You understand? It comes and it goes. You understand? Anywhere you go, there's presence. Because it's been converted. And listen, and that's why you must cut yourself some slack and give yourself time. And don't be under the torment of success. Success is a torment. I'll explain. Success is a torment. Many of us in the bid to be quickly to be successful quickly, we cannot interpret our pressure. So we see a pressure as Satan winning. And it's because we have a goal of success. Your goal, can I preach to you?
Yes, sir.
I feel like preaching to you because I like you. Your goal should not be success. Your goal should be enjoyment.
Yes, sir.
Let me explain. You should make sure that you are going to enjoy your life now. Don't postpone enjoyment to tomorrow. Because if you postpone your enjoyment to tomorrow, when you get to that tomorrow, there will be another success journey that you will not start again. Do you understand? So you are blessed and yet lean. Because the enemy keeps increasing it. I say this one. All right, what about that one? Then you go again. When you get there, he says, is this where your meter? Then you get there. Then even though God is blessing you, but there is a basket of foolishness draining the blessing. Enjoy your life. Since when my wife got married, anytime we get to it, I tell her, see, where we are now is a miracle. Don't pressure me. There is somebody, she doesn't pressure me, I think so. But there's somebody enjoying life in the, I remember these things. There's somebody in the village in a hut. Do you understand? Hut. And has a wife. And they're enjoying life. They used to laugh. So don't, and God is their God. And they are full of the Holy Ghost. So you are not in a, you don't have a special crisis, a special problem. Stop piping yourself. Stop. Yeah, where you are because of purpose and destiny, that's why you're not in the village. Not because you are better. Your destiny is needed in Lagos. Not because you are, you were ordained civilized. Yeah, you together with me. Don't postpone enjoyment. There is nothing that will come that will make your life better.
Yes, sir.
It is now.
Yes, sir.
Now. Enjoy it now. There is nothing that when it comes, you'll not be happy. If you do that, you are at the mercy of Satan. Because he's the God of this world. He knows what to withhold from you. And shut you down. Enjoy your life now. Don't enjoy tomorrow. Don't enjoy, if God, the day God will give me a car. Forget all that nonsense. The day God will give you a car, you want another car. Enjoy your life now. You see, because there is no reparation for your sorrow. No reparation for it. Nobody is going to pay you reparation. For all the years you used to tear and to be in sorrow. No, it's a waste. No, you won't be paid. You would only be paid for joy. You won't be paid for sorrow. Nobody's paying you back for your sorrow. You wasted your time. But you can sow joy and reap more joy. Because if it's a seed that God can use, it must have the character of God. So if you sow sorrow, God can use it because sorrow doesn't have the character of heaven. So the only seeds you should sow are seeds of joy, seeds of thanksgiving. Are we together now?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me the dates and the time you plan to enjoy your life?
Now.
For those who are married, hear me. One of my spiritual fathers told me because his own spiritual father told him. Those who are married. Enjoy your wife now. All these fights, you're fighting your wife. You're wasting your time. Listen. We're all getting old. Some of you, let me tell you as raw as it is. Let me tell you. You know, it's crazy that I cannot see some things. Now, see. But they shouldn't go. See, that thing called, there's something called young girl. Young girl. Say you deal with young girl. There's something called it. Say, that's why you see old credit stuff. Don't decide. Look, I don't preach again. That's why you see old men who go and look for young girl. There's something called young girl. Now, let me tell you this. This is your only season of being with a young girl. After a while, your wife will not be a young girl. And you will have no opportunity to be with a young girl again. So you are better. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Now your wife. Keep her young. Invest in her to be young. May you come enjoy them. Knowing that it goes so now, the only young girl, wait, after a while, both of you will have big stomach, you have to carry yourself up. And that's why, in my heart, and this is a challenge many young pastors go through. A young pastor has an assumption that because you are a pastor, you have to grow, you have to be old. Eventually, the guy has a complex in his soul because he never enjoyed being young because he took pastor. And left young man. Do you understand? So the girl is 23. She's already mommy. The man is 32. He's already daddy. People are kneeling down to him. the enjoyment of a young man. That's why I almost curse, and in my heart, I curse people who want to turn me into an old man. I will never be young again. Do you understand? This is about the way dressing. After a while, I will stop it. If it's suit you want to be wearing every day, that's your own concern. But listen, as a young man, I will enjoy my youth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, it's for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Your youth, enjoy it. So far, you are enjoying it. Is it not in Christ?
Yes.
Ah. Is it not in Christ?
Yes.
That's your wife. That's your... Listen, that's your husband. Enjoy him. And there will be a time he will have to take medicine before anything can happen. Say, George, Magbuno, George. Not the truth. Be laughing. Enjoy it. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy it very well. And that's why for those of you who have the opportunity and you're in the stage to get married, go and marry quickly. Even if it's for only enjoyment, just go and marry. Don't worry now. Okay. So when is the enjoyment?
Now.
Don't postpone. After the preaching, when I'm done, I'll call Otako. When I'm done preaching. Yeah, I'll do Otako. It's for somebody to receive Jesus. Because if you don't receive Jesus, you are no, serious. Wait. If you don't have Jesus, you are being enjoyed. It's serious, so it's not fun. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, Satan is enjoying you. And it's making you feel you know what you are doing. You don't know nada. You are blind. So as somebody who will give account to God, before the end of the service, when I'm finished preaching, I ask you to allow Jesus enter your heart. And if you do, he will enter your heart. And when he does enter your heart, something will happen. You will change. It will happen. It's real. It's not fake. It's not fake. It's real. It will happen to you. And your eyes will just pop open. Bah! Something else will enter your heart. And then you'll be part of this family. Because if God counts the church attendance today, he won't count the way the ushers count. The ushers don't have spiritual eyes like that. They will just count bodies. But God will count souls. Who is inside them? That's how God counts. So the question is, if God is counting, am I part of the count? And then I'll ask you to raise your hand like I do sometime, and I feel I should do again today. I'll ask you, and I believe you will say yes, and you will raise your hand, and the Spirit of God will enter you and turn you to another man.
Yes,
then enjoyment will start. Enjoyment that Satan cannot control. Enjoyment from inside. Can we continue the preaching?
Yes, sir.
All right. It leads us in triumph. So we're talking about how the challenges. And that's why don't mock anybody going through stuff. Don't be careful. Don't mock anybody going through stuff. Because whatever he's going through, if he responds well or if she responds well, God can. Do you know that God? Do you know God does not condemn? Let me tell you what that means. God never says over anybody, you are not useful again. So it means that regardless of where anybody is, regardless of the crisis they are going through, it can be converted to heat that turns what? Knowledge to what? To fragrance. So, if God doesn't condemn anybody, I also mustn't condemn anybody. And don't condemn yourself. Be kind to yourself. That whatever you're passing through, if you allow God to speak to you, to lead you, He will turn your what? Your knowledge and turn to what? Fragrance. And it should now be where? Every place. That's what I like. I like that it's every place. That's the beauty of Christianity. And that's the weakness of religion. Religion can only work in church. True Christianity works everywhere. That's how I always cringe when we say workers' meeting. Not like I criticize it, but I just... that can you really, a whole human being, can I just... can a whole human being be turned to a worker? The word is too hard for me. You understand that? Fragrance, pressure helps you to convert knowledge to what? To fragrance. And it is where? Every place. Every place. Every place. Every place. In your marriage, you can release the fragrance of heaven. You know, in our marriage, we should win by fragrance. Not win an argument. That's what Paul was speaking when I was talking to women, and he says that even if your husband is not saved, he said through your conduct or through your conversation, that's your fragrance. Your fragrance can judge him. It's not words that change people. It's fragrance. Can you spray the perfume? Spray the character of Jesus. I remember many years ago, one of Pastor Bola Odutola's favorite preaching is the preaching of a woman who, I miss Pastor Bola Odutola, I think we should have him here very soon. A woman who used to have issues with her husband because her husband would always go out, I think if it's every day or once in a day, to club every time. And then she kept fighting her husband and fighting him and fighting him and fighting him. And so she spoke with the pastor about it. And the pastor said, you know what we're going to do next? The next Friday, this is what we're going to do. Ask him what he's wearing. If he tells you what he's wearing, go and iron it. Iron it and prepare for him. And ask if you should pack food and all of that. And so she did that. And then the guy who just got quiet was just wondering, unstable in the house. He said the guy was just roaming and scared for his life. He said the guy was just roaming. And guess what? So he went out. And like 30 minutes later, he came back. He removed his clothes and went to lie down on the bed. And the wife said, ah, eh, no wonder. Oh, wait a minute, Jerry. Wait a minute. He got scared. He didn't know the plan. Am I dying today? Like, am I dying today? You know, we can win with fragrance.
Yes.
I said you can win with fragrance.
Yes.
Fragrance. And let's go further. Ah, what is that base of missives? Thank God it's a woman, but I put it. 2 Corinthians. Let's go. Let's begin to tie the knot. Are you blessed by you?
Yes, sir.
Good, 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 good. Are you going to use these words?
Yes, sir.
So when are you planning to enjoy?
Now.
For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. That is to say, what we do is that we reveal who? Christ. We release Christ. I wish I had a document, a video of my conversation with my brothers who weren't yet saved. It was so amazing. We had some time together, you know, was it last week? And even though they are not saved, they they were able to pinpoint Christ. They knew, you know, that I and Credi have Christ in such an undeniable way. It was such a hilarious conversation. So hilarious. Like a 3-4 hours conversation. We were done around 12 a.m. You know, I went with the Osinis. We just went to have a time together, you know, at the VG, sorry. So we're just gisting, you know, and drinking and eating, drinking Feroz. Feroz, Maltina, you know, and they were drinking their own stuff and we were just having fun, eating and all of that. And then they were now fighting themselves, my elder brothers, and like, hey, this guy is not our last bomb. Let's not argue the thing. He says, he's our spiritual father. He's your... I said, never. He's not my spiritual father. It was so hilarious. And he said, even our mom, say, mommy, one asks the other one. So you think, this and that, because we're 5 boys, you think she's the mate of all the other wives all of us carry around? They're not the same bit. It was so fun because the fragrance of Christ, even is felt even amongst those who are not saved. And that's why we must be afraid to turn down this fragrance because of unbelievers. You see, that is the saddest thing my generation has done. Because of unbelievers, we try to turn down the fragrance of Christ because we think they'll be comfortable. What is comfort in hell? Someone is in hell, you are talking of comfort. What's wrong? What's wrong? These are the things that hurt my soul deeply. We turned it down. And we thought that if we can impress them. And guess what? We're not impressing them. We are disgraced. They feel embarrassed for us. They feel so embarrassed when they see we are trying all our best to look like them. Do you know those guys? We many times struggle to be like them. Yes. Like, we want to show them, hey, we too, see, we too, see, we are also ready, I'm not SU like that. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Come on, what's wrong with you? You know? We are like, I'm like, what's wrong? You have to be bold with Jesus, right? Are we together here? So, well, for unto God, a sweet savour of Christ, let's round off. In them that are saved and in them that perish. Come on, next verse. To one, we are the savour of death unto death. To the other, we are the savour of life unto life. That is to say, when an unbeliever meets me, he's sure he's an unbeliever. Yeah. He will not doubt again. And he goes home with that. And that's, God prefers him to be that way. Mm. So that he can make a decision one day. Yeah. We're servants of death unto death. We just get near the guy. The guy says, man, I'm dead, man. And to some, have you met believers who you meet and then you just want to go further in God? Yeah. Have you met Christians who judge you? You are also a believer, but you just hear them. You just say, Father, give me light. Give me bread. Give me bread and give me wine. And I'll be free. I remember those days when Pastor Deji used to, you know, provide leadership for us then. Pastor Deji. I would just pray. I said, God, I don't want much. Can I just be like Deji? I would kneel down, a devotion. God, I just want to be like Deji. It was later when I began to know his true character. When I began to know him through his true character, I said, you know, when you get close to me, you're like, no. Father, this guy is a wicked guy. I don't want to be like him. I'm telling you the truth. Those were my prayers. That's the savour of Christ. He released the savour. He released it. And listen, when it's true, you don't need the microphone. When it's true, you don't want a microphone. Yeah. A microphone is a distraction sometimes. You don't want a microphone. You don't need a microphone for what? Yeah.
I remember one of my friends one time told me the day he got saved. I didn't even know. He said I was the one that got him saved. I said, how? He said, one day he just saw me. And he just came me in one corner. I said, I just saw him and I took him to behind one car. I said, I don't buy nobody again. And I preached to him. I said, that's the day he got saved. I didn't even know. Pastor Yomi one day was walking and he saw one guy on the road. He said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? The guy said, no. He said, enter the house. On the road. He said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? The guy said, yeah, come. Enter that place. And I got in filled. It's fragrance. It's fragrance. Anywhere. Anywhere. Everywhere. In the house. My son had his clothes stained with drink, and he came to meet me, and he didn't like it because it was a party. Originally, I had white stuff. I said, "Look at my clothes is dirty." I said, "What should I do?" He said, "Heal it." He said, "Daddy, pray, heal it." I said, "What?" If you have said it, it's possible, but man, I've not reached there, man. But really, it's possible. It's possible. It means that there's that possibility. I never thought about it. Imagine, no more paying for dry cleaner. You just pack all your clothes. Handle a patio. The guy didn't say wash it. He said heal it. We're outside there. He just said, daddy, and heal it, heal it. Like, man, Maverick, man. I don't know if I can do this one, man. We'll do a lot more research on that and find out. God, can we start healing our clothes? No more dry cleaners. You're not ironing it again. My table! So, it would just be awesome. Friends, are we together? Asavo. This Jesus is beautiful. Yes. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Even when you leave him and go to the world, you'll find out you have not left him. Yes. Like even when you leave Jesus and guess what? I've never gone to the world. But I still know these things. I know how real it is that I can imagine somebody who has left him. I've never left him before. I gave about how many years and I've never left him. I won't leave him. But even if you leave him and go to the world, and you just find, and then you now go to do the fun things of the world, and you find out that even doing nothing at home with the spirit resident is more fun. Kai! This Jesus. Sometimes I just sit down, I just erase my life from inside. Form everywhere. On Wednesday, I was preaching about Jesus who had crisis. People were troubling him in Judea. And he went to Samaria. And he still had a breakthrough in Samaria. Because it is every place. Take me from Judea, take me to Samaria. If I resign ministry today and go into corporate world, is that possible? Just for lack of imagination. The fragrance will still be there. Fragrance will still be there. Everywhere. Can we shout everywhere?
Everywhere.
You know what now amazes me? This fragrance, even if not, it doesn't even happen when you have attained perfection. Even without perfection. Okay, can I even now mess it up? Even when you think you don't even have any fragrance because you see a lot of stinking things in your life, yeah. Even at your stinking state, others can still smell fragrance. Yeah. Have you wondered what people are wondered about your life? Like, you're wondering, why are you wondering? You're wondering, why are you wondering? Like, sometimes the way people see me, I'll respond, but when I turn back, I look at my wife. I'm I'm telling you, I'm wondering. You know, many times when people invite me, you know, to places to go and preach, I wonder who lied to them. Some say prophetic perspective, guest minister. But I say, who lied to you? How do I even know? I don't even know what I know. I'm telling the truth. I don't know what I know. Like when I hear some people speak, I'm like, am I also a speaker? You know, when I see people like Brandon Bailey, Shea Adefemi preaching and scattering things, I'm like, ah. I don't even know what I know. But guess what? The fragrance keeps increasing. The fragrance. Lives are changed. Do you want lives changed or you want to grow in information? Life changed, man. Do you understand? Yes, if I can just do like this and lives are changed, I prefer that than teaching a whole book. Do you understand?
Yes,
lives changed. Where you carry the weight of his glory,
yes,
weight of fragrance. Are you together with me? Life's changed. Can you be an assurance that a life will change? You don't understand? Your presence assures a change of life. Your presence assures it. And so, hear me. I'm rounding off. Don't be afraid to release even the fragrance of death. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take a stand. Don't be afraid to be different. And don't be apologetic about your difference. Do you understand that? Don't be apologetic about your difference. Don't be apologetic about your biblical positions. Do you understand that? Because in these last days, there is pressure for you to balance what God has told you. But what God has told you came with balance. Came with balance. You don't need to make other people happy and look for how to get other people happy. Just stay with the word. It's balanced. The word of God is balanced. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Just stay with it. You believe in sexual purity, right? Come on, go ahead and stay with it. And stop trying to respond to stupid questions. Listen, I told you that when disobedience is working, then you would always need to create a scenario that will never happen. For example, tithing. What if I'm coming from work and I want to go to church? While I'm going to church, a trailer jammed somebody and the person's head removed and neck. They now need money to treat the person. Will I still bring the tithe to church or you to heal the person? The spirit of disobedience is at work. It helps you create scenarios that will never exist. Because in the first place, things have been happening every day you have ignored. But it is when it's the issue of tithe, you now imagined one thing. Are you with me? We always like to create a scenario when we don't want to. What if a woman is now in her 60 and she needs to have a child? You just create one strange thing. Do you understand? And the joke is on you. You see, because you're agreeing to God's opinion doesn't make God. It just makes you alive. Are we together here? It just makes you alive. It doesn't make God God. It makes you alive. Friends, are you here?
Yes, sir.
So if you mess things up, do you think God will now feel sad? No, he's God. And who is sufficient for these things? Let's read. For we are not as many. We are not as many who corrupt the word of God. That what that rendition means that we are not part of the many who corrupt the word of God. You see, this eventually boils down to trying to balance position. That's what is called corrupting the word of God. So what destroys that fragrance and makes us not to shine in fragrance is our looking for balance. And that our looking for balance, it is either on the basis of we want to disobey or because we are afraid of people's opinion. Do you understand that? Can I say one that will amaze you, that will maybe get you offended? You can't preach the Bible as it is and be popular on Twitter. You can't preach the Bible as it is and be loved on Twitter. It's not possible. Do you understand that? For you to be loved on Twitter, you have to be calm. And be careful of what you say and what you don't say. But if you want to be hyped generally, not by the Christian community, I'm talking of a preacher, I'm talking of an apostle, a prophet. An apostle. You see, Jesus Christ told us that he's shocked that we are liked. Because he told us that they hated me, the world will hate you. And right now, the language, the software that the world engages through in our own days is the social media software. Are you together with me? And sometimes you are very careful there. Do you understand that? Sorry, you are quiet now. Maybe because you are liked. I'm just joking. Just calm down. Don't be too hard on yourself. All I'm saying is that don't be afraid to stand alone. Because what you call alone is angels, heaven, Jesus, Abraham, Jacob, Paul, Peter. We have a cloud of witness. Innumerable amount of angels. The blood of Jesus. Are you together with me? It's not, you are not alone. Do you understand that? You're not alone. Abraham is with you. John is with you. And they are like, they are with you practically. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to sound nice. The Bible says we have a cloud of witness. And guess what? They are with you in a way where they are amazed. Like they're cheering you on. Because you are the one ending the race for them. Bible says without us, they cannot be made perfect. Hebrews chapter, is it 10 now or Hebrews chapter 11, the last few verses. It says without us, they cannot be made perfect. And that's why they're a cloud of witness. They're like the spectators, not just spectators, but those who have transferred the burden and now they are watching us wrong. Are you with me? Yes. Abraham is watching you. Do you understand that? Moses is watching you. Sarah is watching you. And for some of you, you just have a way of amazing Deborah. Do you understand? These holy people are watching us. Are you with me? We are not alone. We have a rich heritage of righteousness, rich heritage of power. And there is no position you are taking that is a new position. You are just continuing the eternal position. We are just a generation that is continuing. We are not doing anything new. We are just saying, we are just affirming that Abraham is right. And we are affirming that Sarah is right. And the people are shocked that we didn't learn from the books of this world. But we have our own book. It's called the Word of God. And it is eternal. And it abides forever. Not one drop of it will ever not fulfill itself. It is real. It is true. And that's the book we read from. And the book has been from day one, right? So we know what we're saying. We're not just being stupid, being foolish, or trying to be different. We're not trying to be different. We're just trying to be who we are. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that who you are? Yes, sir. The sons of Abraham. I said the sons of Abraham. Yes, sir. But listen, there will always be many. You see, because it's easy to be many. It's always easy. It's easy to be part of the many. But it's joyful to stay with Jesus. Peddling the word of God. Someone say peddling. Actually, the word peddling there is the same word used. It's a business terminology. Peddling, like gain. That is to say, I'm going to speak to you or take a position in a way where both of us can still do business. I'm not going to speak to you in a way where I'm going to lose you. So it's about gain. Do you understand? And in the context of a local assembly, what that happens is that I'm thinking of how to set up a local assembly where I can have gain of people. Do you understand? What can I say to get more money? What can I say to get more people? So that's peddling the word. That is to say, the word is not the word for itself. But the word is altered because of the people. Are you together with me? So eventually the people, what the preacher doesn't know, that eventually what you are preaching is no more the word. What you are preaching is the people. Because the people now give you what to preach. So you are a preacher of men. You are not a preacher of the word. Are you together with me? Because the word of God itself is God himself. It is the things that God wants that is the word. So when you preach what men want, what you are also preaching is men. Are you together with me? Yes, that's why Paul now said that if I am a pleaser of men, then I'm not worthy to be called what? A servant of God. Are you guys listening to me? Yes, why am I preaching to you? Because you have come to the times and the seasons. Listen to me. Every one of you listening to me, who God has sent to be in this place, you are living in the times and the seasons where God will have you to stand alone. But I want to announce to you that it is not, you are not alone. there is great company cheering you on. Whether you are a preacher, you are a pastor, whoever you are, as an individual, as a Christian, praise God. So you begin to make decisions based on the scripture. But as of sincerity, as from God, we speak in the sight of God. How do we speak? In the sight of God in Christ. That is to say, even though I'm preaching to you, I am speaking in the sight of God. So I'm not looking at you to talk to you. I'm looking at God to talk to you. So it is God that informs what I tell you, not what you like or what you don't like. So sometimes when God tells me to say something to you, if it offends you and you go, that's fine. I'm never going to try to keep you. I'm going to try to stand with God. Are you together? That's the meaning of man of God, not man of man. Do you understand that? Where you're speaking, looking at God and speaking to men. Not looking at men and speaking to men. That way we have resigned. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Can you give me another? I think the next verse is chapter 3. So give me chapter 3. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts. Just take our scripture from the screen. So can you see that? Eventually, it all boils down to who? To men. It all boils down to the fragrance changing man. So a friend ought to change his friend. That can you see that your loyalty to Jesus, our lives depend on it. That it's no longer just about you. That your loyalty to Jesus will change my own heart.
Yeah.
That your loyalty to Jesus has got hope for the person beside you. So you're not the only one that will be lost if you get lost. We will be lost. So help us. Do you understand that? Help us. Help me. You have to help us. We have to help one another. Husband, help your wife by making sure that fragrance remains. Are we together here? And wife, help your husband. And let Sarah be your true mother so that you can help your husband. Amen. Because if you make Beyonce your mother, then you destroy your home. And when you destroy your home, you don't only destroy your home, you destroy your kids. When you destroy your kids, you don't only destroy your kids, you destroy your kids and they don't have the capacity to make right decisions. Because the right decisions is not based on intellect. Right decisions is based on purity of heart. It's not brilliance that makes you make right decisions. It's heart. Right heart. Do you get the point now? So you have to help one another. Praise God. It means that a pastor who is used to lying should come to a house and find out people's love for truth. And when he comes and he's lying, people are just wondering, what are you killing? So I remember those days growing up, I was telling them sometime, I said, I remember I used to listen to pastors who would come and be talking about their watch. I don't know if those things still happen. Last week, I just came back from Austria, and that is where I got this shoe. This shoe is about £5,000. You will never know poverty in the name of Jesus. Do those things still exist? It's been a while, you know. I haven't been really going around. I have to be in church every time. You will never know poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody will say, amen! This head has ok. Things before. This head has ok. But now, this suit, I bought it $5,000. You never know poverty in the name of Jesus. But he should come and everybody's shocked. And then the guy finds out that, wow. Then the fragrance begins to smell. And the guy changed his message. It was before 3 ways of being the next millionaire. And now he's finding 3 ways of knowing Jesus. And those everybody screams, yes! Because sometimes the Bible says that when pastors deceive people, it says, and the people love it so. So it's the people that allow the continuity of foolishness. Are you with me, friends? Can you tell somebody, help me? Help me. Help me. And this is everything I'm saying. I'm no more preaching. Look at me. I'm no more preaching. I just want to look at you sternly. Look at me, friends. Look at me, friends. Can I have some quiet, please? I've spoken about triumphing. I've spoken about several things. I've spoken about enjoying yourself now. I've told you about pressure, and I told you what pressure does. It heats up the knowledge so that you can have fragrance. And that fragrance is helping all of us. So that when I come around you and I see your joy, and I get deeper and I find out your challenges, and I still see your joy, that the fragrance of joy makes me know that I haven't been going through anything. What I thought was a big deal, then I repent and also break into joy. You have helped me. You have become an epistle. Are we together here? When I listen to Pastor Obi's preaching, he has helped me. He has helped me to also go deeper and to think deeper and to trust God for word, for rhema. When I listened to, Abike told us, before Abike started preaching, she said, this is what God will do. She said, God is going to give us rain.
Yes, sir.
You don't say that from eating Eba and Amala.
Yes,
it's from hearing from God and being confident. Which, she's not a preacher, which worship leader starts and tells you that you are going to see rain before the end of service? That's someone who has heard from God.
Yes,
do you understand? And then if your worship leader is saying that, then you also, who's meant to preach,
yeah,
cannot now come and say, you see, there are three type of character. There's choleric, there's melancholy. You can be phleg, you can be phlegmatic. You can be choleric, sanguine. You see, you not be stammering. And you wonder, is that what heaven is saying? Do you think Jesus will wake you up and say, you know, you are choleric? You think Jesus will say, phleg? I don't want you to be phlegmatic. When you are phlegmatic, you are... Those were the things I heard when I went around churches. People would just sit down talking nonsense. They are phlegmatic, they are phlegmatic. So as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Do you understand? It might be, we must place knowledge. It has placement. Don't make what should be number 85, number 2, or number 1. Do you understand? It can be important at some level, but it has to be the word of God. Because that's the only thing that has the ability to change our lives. Amen. All right, finally. Fifth. I don't know. You want to have a relationship with Jesus. I just want to pray with you. You say, Pastor Zach, I want to get closer to... I want to know Jesus. I don't know. I can't really boldly say that I know Jesus. If you're that person, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I am definitely that as we pray together, that God will do something for you. You say, Pastor Zach, I can't really say I know Jesus. And I want to know Jesus. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? Anybody? I want Jesus to come inside me and have a relationship. I've tried it severally. It didn't work. It will work now. I believe it will work now. I believe that you'll receive a miracle now, you know, of Jesus inside your heart. If you are in that place where you are not sure, you have to be sure. If you're not sure, then you need to raise your hand. You have to be sure. If you're not sure, something is wrong. And don't risk it. Don't risk it. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Raise it. I'll just see you. And then I'll say a prayer for you. Is anybody there? Or you're also in a place where you can, you think you need a fresh start. You think so. You've lost your boldness, you've lost your confidence and all of that. And then you think you need a fresh start. Can you also raise your hand if you're in that place where... Pastor Zach, I think I should start again, you know. I think I should get connected in a way that I've lost. You know, if you're there, you can also raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Glory to God.